Good evening, everybody.
Hello and welcome to Disney Magic Hour, episode number 98. This is part two of our D23 Expo Recap Parks and Resorts panel. Joining me still, because we haven't left, is Brian Bogat. Say hello, Brian.
Hello, Brian.
Again. Say hello again, Ryan, from the Main Street Gazette.
Hello again, Ryan.
Hello, Pete. And keep saying hello, Pogo. This episode of Disney Magic Hour once again is brought to you by MEI Travel. For all your vacation planning needs, for visiting Walt Disney World, taking a cruise, Disneyland Paris, Disneyland, Galaxy's Edge, Epcot, space, anywhere you want to go, MEITravel.com. Becky and her team can get you started on your own adventure. Right now, you are listening to There You Are. You can find this track and more at soundcloud.com/PogoMix. His website is pogomix.net. We are lastgenpodcast.com. Find us on Twitter at Diz Magic Hour Pod. That's D-I-S Magic Hour Pod. On Facebook, join our group, the Disney Magic Hour. We are, it's a good group.
Good group. Strong group.
It's good. Makes me cry. And add your friends if you're already in there. We are on iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher, and you can find us on Instagram at Disney Magic Hour Podcast. Ryan, for the folks who maybe didn't listen to part one, you demons, where can everyone find Main Street Gazette?
It's at mainstgazette.com. It's the Main ST Gazette on Twitter, Instagram, search Main Street Gazette on Facebook, or just, you know, find me when I'm commenting somewhere in the group.
Yes, sir. Brian?
I'm around.
Good.
Facebook. You can find me. Look for me there.
Facebook.
Commenting
Brian.
In the group.
That's what they call it.
Hours late, usually.
Yes. Yes. Late
after
to the
Pete ball. Threatened your life.
I after was Pete threatened my life.
I loved yesterday Ed Buskirk, the third. He was at a ball game, and he was just like, 300 comments. All I did was go to a ball game. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
All right, so part one was kind of business. There's a lot of business, movie business. This is going to be the weird one. So we're going to talk about the Parks and Resorts panel, but we're not going to talk about it in the order that they talked about it in the panel because someone doesn't understand continuity. Not that we're going to fix continuity for everything in the world, but we're going to try to put this a little more in place and try to stick to land and not jump around too much. So let's start on the other side of the country. With Disneyland, because there were a lot of announcements towards Disneyland that people then complained weren't enough for them. At least that's what it kind of sounded like. So let's talk about everything that's happening in Disneyland, because there be a changes a-coming. Ryan, why don't you get us started on that? Why don't you tell me about, because I've never been there, and maybe I never will. Maybe Paradise Pier... I mean, I'm going in yes. December, but I don't know like when construction and when things are shutting down or doing this and doing that. Mm-hmm. Paradise Pier is getting a changeover.
It is. It's going to become Pixar Pier, which this is not we've talked about next summer they're going to have Pixar Fest at both resorts, kind of like they're having the Summer of Heroes now, Pixar Fest next summer. But changing Paradise Pier to Pixar Pier is a permanent change.
Point
so
enough.
We're going to see, Bing Bong is going to get a confectionery. They're going to bring over Paint the Night Parade from Disneyland, where it has been. It's going to be now over in Disney's California Adventure starting next year with an additional float that'll be new. They are going to give the Cars Land is going to have a Halloween party or Halloween
Hall.
Theme.
Hall,
H-A-U-L-O-ween,
yeah.
For those of you who are looking for the spelling on that. There were some great little tidbits of that where they had garlands where the white wall tires were eyes. They had mufflers for eyebrows and cones that were turned upside down for vampire teeth. It's a good overlay, it looks like. It'll be fun for kids going to look for Halloween. But yeah, Pixar is going to take over the entire pier area of California Adventure. Part of this being put forth because it's a Bugs Land, the kind of smaller-ish subland of California Adventure that's been dedicated to the only corner dedicated to Pixar in that park at the moment, is going to eventually be going away in order to tie in more Marvel pieces. They've said that the Avengers are coming, that Spider-Man is coming. So we are going to see that hatch that for everyone who's been at Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout, who saw that Avengers hatch and knew the gig was up, that's what it's referenced to. There is more coming down the line. They wouldn't talk about any more than that, but that is where we are with Marvel coming to California Adventure.
As Gregory Hines once said, the jig is up!
And jig gone! Is up.
So, lots of stuff happening there. So, wow. I mean, is it a smart assumption to assume the Paradise Pier Hotel will be getting a remake eventually and becoming the Pixar Pier Hotel? You can't have a Paradise Pier Hotel if there's no Paradise Pier, right? No.
Yeah, and that hotel... So I stayed... Last time I was in California, I stayed at Paradise Pier. And this wasn't even a Disney hotel. This was a hotel Disney purchased from another developer and it made Paradise Pier. There are problems with that hotel.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, transportation in and out of that hotel can be fun first thing in the morning.
If only there were skyways.
They need skyways. Or just a... You know, give me a stairwell that I can get to. Something, because those elevators get very crowded and it's almost impossible to get out because everyone's trying to leave at the same time. And that's a very tall building. But I would expect that at some point we'll hear, yeah, that the Paradise Pier Hotel is going to become the Pixar Play Hotel something along those lines. But along those lines, Pixar Play Parade is going to be moving from California Adventure over to Disneyland to continue that Pixar Fest next summer.
And also, like, you know, you brought it up before, but Paint the Night is coming back. You know, it went away, and now it's going to be coming back. People were very, very happy to hear that. You know, we have the Halloween event coming to Cars Land. And for people over here on the East Coast, I will guarantee you there's going to be a Halloween event coming to Toy Story Land. There absolutely will be. There has to be. It's a perfect fit.
Yes.
If we can work into the story that cars celebrate Halloween, we can work it in that toys do. Believe me. That'll be great. You know, I would say the biggest thing, though, that came out of this was the expansion of what is this hatch, this Avengers hatch that is, you know, just placed ever so, look at this, over near, you know, the new Guardians attraction. And, yeah, they called it, quote, a superhero experience that's going to be coming to DCA.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man and the Avengers are going to be becoming part of an immersive superhero universe in Disney. So is this a land? Is this a new land? Do they have room for said land?
If you're taking away the it's a Bugs Land, you have enough of a footprint. I mean, and that's been the discussion I think we've had a lot this weekend is what does it constitute a land? What is it, you know, what puts that together? Is it one attraction? Is it two attractions? Is it a restaurant? Is it what do you need to have to make a land? You know, I think you'll have a yes, I think there's enough of a footprint there depending on how they carve out to create a, you know, a mini Marvel Land.
Brian?
Yeah?
You've never been to Disneyland. Either have I.
Nope.
Will this get you over to Disneyland quicker?
I want to say yes. In reality, probably no, because that's just the way things go. yeah, I mean, this is something that I would find exciting because... I love this stuff. I love the Marvel, and you know, it is something that would be a draw for me for sure. I'm going to try to get there in the next 5 years. That's my game plan. But you know, for now, we'll see how it goes.
Okay. Yeah, this is crazy exciting. We were all hoping for something like this, and obviously, this is just the start of that announcement. You know, just keep an ear to the grindstone, folks. It's going to be one hell of a couple of years for Disney coming up right now. If you like to complain about construction, you'll have plenty to complain about in the future, I'm sure. You'll find something. Don't worry about it. You know what? I want to save Walt Disney World for last because we have a lot of stories that are kind of tied into that. Let's go overseas for a minute. Let's go overseas and go to Disneyland Paris for a hot minute. They had only one announcement towards Disneyland Paris. Well, one adjoining when we talk about Epcot later. But Disneyland Paris is getting a new hotel. And it is the most straightforward title on earth. It is called Hotel New York, The Art of Marvel. That sounds like a book, but sure. Quote, "The Art of Marvel will transport our guests to the action-packed, inspiring worlds of superheroes, including Iron Man, the Avengers, and Spider-Man, amongst others." Punisher, not an inspiring world. not one of them.
So we need a Hell's Kitchen Hotel. That's what
Hell's
we
Kitchen Hotel, where you're on your own. You just check in. That's pretty much it.
Not check out.
It's the most hostile ever. But there is a bed and breakfast next door if you'd like to go. This is cool. They're basically making an Art of Marvel book into a hotel. I mean, great. This basically shows how wanting Disney is to put the Marvel brand in their parks. And woof, if there wasn't a lockdown on what they can do on the East Coast, I sort of feel like a fifth gate would be in the work. There's so much that they're doing that I do think it could call for a land. But, you know, hey, we'll do what we can for now. But, yeah, Hotel New York, The Art of Marvel's coming to Disneyland Paris. And, you know, it'll be expensive.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
That's pretty much what I got out of that.
Yeah.
In addition to other news that isn't going just down in Walt Disney World itself, Disney Cruise Line had a big announcement that was, you know, just it was a small part of this panel, but it's a huge announcement. They already said they were adding two ships. Okay, guess what? They're adding a third. I mean, they are really, really expanding this fleet very quickly, and I think it's great. I absolutely loved my two cruises on Disney Cruise Line so far. I cannot wait to go on the third one. And, you know, the more options for where you can sail to and this and that, and the more unique experiences that you might be able to find on one cruise line opposed to, you know, one cruise boat, you know, one boat opposed to the next, it just makes me want to do more and more. And this is great. It's all they said. They didn't announce a name or anything like that. Who cares? They'll give the name eventually. But, you know, there we go. We get another cruise line boat. So, wow, Disney Cruise Line. Just expanding and expanding, looking to kill that competition and no longer just be a boutique. I don't know.
Are
they still a boutique? Oh, no. When you compare, I don't know. Like the number of ships. I know they still don't have as many as anyone else, but they're
definitely expanding.
No, but
these ships are going to be – these three ships are going to be bigger than even the Dream and Fantasy we have now. So you're doubling the capacity of what you have size-wise for the ships – as it currently stands, you know, even just from 4 to 7, the room numbers, actual stateroom numbers. So, yeah, it's the sky's the limit for this.
The sky's the limit. Brian, when are you going to go to Cruise Line? My God, man.
Actually, we were just talking about that. I think next year we're doing a split stay at Universal and Disney, because Kyle really is killing me to go to Universal, and I need to dedicate a few days there. So we're gonna do like three days at Universal and then like five or six at Disney, and then the next year after that we were gonna do a cruise. We're gonna do instead of a split stay, we'll do a cruise, a small cruise, like a short 3-day cruise, and then like 5 or 6 days at Disney.
Was it a 3-day tour?
A three-hour tour.
Wow.
Yes.
Let me know about that, because I'm going to go with you. Boom.
Yeah.
Cruise right. time.
Cruise time. Cruising.
You're going too, Ryan. This is me pointing at you digitally.
I couldn't tell which direction that was going.
Both of you. That's who both of you is. So, yeah, Disney Cruise Line. Up and at 'em. Into the stars, as a lot of things are, evidently. All right, so that was, you know, Disneyland had its thing. Very, very cool. And Disney Cruise Line expanding, Disneyland Paris getting a new hotel, and even DVC, which I guess we can kind of go from here and then work into the other thing. DVC announced that they're going to have another resort opening up called Disney Riviera Resort. It's a 300-unit resort set to open in 2019. And I have read WW Magic is saying that it will come from the recently demolished section of Disney's Caribbean Beach Resort. So this is a new standalone structure. This is not going to be a village-type structure in the way that Saratoga Springs and Old Key West is. This is more in the vein of, you know, Kidani, Aulani, what they do now with the DVC buildings. And, you know, 2019 isn't that far away. So I would expect that we're going to start getting, you know, room previews in about a year or so, maybe something like that. And my big question is, does the price on this go above Grand Floridian and, you know, the Polynesian? Or do they make this as close to a moderate type buy-in to the DVC as one can do at this juncture?
Yes.
Yeah, I would expect something along the lines of Wilderness Lodge.
No, yes, that's my that. I think they're going that route.
But even
they have their high, you know, they have their high end. You know, I mean, and that those are the prices are crazy for Polynesian and that stuff. That's crazy high. But I think this is their way to get into that. All right, we've got this. They've got like that high, you know, with all the other ones, they have that. Now I think they're trying, you know, maybe they're going to move into people that are like, that's too rich for my blood, but are still interested in it. And this is something to get into them, you know, to get them into it.
The thing is, I mean, like we say, you know, Ryan just said, you know, Copper Creek with Wilderness, that's $176 a point. You know, that's as expensive as Polynesian. So they didn't do a middle ground on that. Now, if you come out with this resort and you say it's $150, which is, I think, where Animal Kingdom would currently lie, even though when I bought Animal Kingdom almost 10 years ago now, that was $99 a point. That was 10 years ago, though. And that's a fair amount of time then, you know, between buying it and now. So I understand that increase to a certain extent. This, though, is, you know, the most recent one, Copper Creek, $176 a point. That's more expensive than Grand Floridian was, and it's as expensive as Polynesian. So do they go down, or does this become another $176 or $185? Or do they bring it down to $160, $150, something like that? Because, wow, I'm blue-collar. I don't make a lot of money. But these things have priced me out. That was the thing. Like, I was able to join this once upon a time, and thank God I did, because I would never be able to do it now.
I think originally in my statement, I was thinking of Willow's Lodge, probably 5 years ago. I kind of forgot they've just totally redone it.
Yeah.
I still hold that it's going to probably come in probably around that level, if only for the fact of the fact that it's going to be connected via the Skyliner to two parks.
The what, you say?
The what?
Are you saying that there's something called the Disney Skyliner? Let's talk about this. All right, let's go. Riviera Resort coming soon. You know, I'm excited because I just love DVC resorts coming up. And, you know, maybe in a year, year and a half, I'll be a little interested in doing another jump because Animal Kingdom will be off the books for me and Melissa. By that time. So Temptation will now rear its head in my face, wagging its finger with the DVC keys attached to them as fingers. So that's how it works. It's really a demon. It's really just a demon of keys. Another announcement that came out of the Parks and Panel presentation is Disney Skyliner, not a gondola. Not a gondola. It is to give guests a bird. This is the most pretty wording of ever. A bird's eye view of Walt Disney World and connect the new Disney Vacation Club property, Disney's Art of Animation, Pop Century, and Caribbean Beach Resorts with Disney's Hollywood Studios and the International Gateway at Epcot. So more transportation options, you know, for basically a whole little circle of the property. Pretty cool. You know, this has been talked about for, God, over a year. And, you know, here it is. They finally said it. And I like the name, you know, nice harken back to the old skyline of, you know, of Magic Kingdom and all that. And how quick does this get me from one place to the other, and how many people can it hold? You know, that's obviously a big question. What do you guys think about this, Ryan? I mean, more transportation to Disney is a good thing. That's not a bad thing at all.
No, I like the idea of more transportation. You know, there may be other pieces of transportation that need a little bit of love. But I had the same question. I was like, notice it's not – it's saying International Gateway. It's not saying, hey, there's a hub by Beach Club, Yacht Club, and Boardwalk, because you could potentially get to the studios faster via boat maybe or by walking.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what the – you know, what the you know, hourly rate is going to be for how many guests they can get through this thing. This is probably trying to relieve some of the bus congestion around that juncture right there with the two values to the studios and to Epcot. So if it does that, great. It gives them another selling point for those two resorts. I'm interested in it. It looks great. It looks like something I wanted, you know, I want to try out. I'm just not sure where it goes from here.
Yeah. Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember Six Flags Great Adventure?
Oh, I do.
Do you remember the carts? I don't even know if they're still there. They used to ride from one end of the park to the other.
Mm-hmm.
How do you like those?
I don't.
Well, let me ask you this. What if it were in Disney World?
Then I would like it. No. no, I do remember them. I do also remember getting stuck with Scarfo on that for, I believe it was about 40 minutes or so.
I was on the ground. I wasn't with you guys. Yeah.
Yeah, no, you weren't with us. It was me, Scarfo, and somebody else. I can't remember. I was maybe Mary. I don't remember. It was somebody else that we were with. And, I mean, more transportation, more ways to get people around is a good thing.
Yes.
And some people like those. Like, I know I might sound crazy, and I know you think I'm crazy a lot of times, but yes. I take the transportation. I don't rent a car. And I like the different ways. Like, there's the different boat launches. They're not fast, but they're just a different way to get around. And if you're not looking for the speed to get around from park to park, it's a nice way. It's a different way to experience Disney. And I think it's a nice option, and it's a nice option. Say you want to go to you're not going to really probably want to go to Pop Century or Art of Animation to eat, but if you wanted to check out the hotels, you know, and stuff like that, it's a different way to get there rather than having to take, you know, the mangle of buses that you would need to take to get to where you want to go.
Yeah. I hope that this works out for the families that use this kind of transportation. I hope it gives a little bit of relief and all that stuff. Obviously, it's still going to take some time to get from one to the other. These aren't fast-moving, you know, lightning buses or anything like that. So, but it could really afford some gorgeous views of the property if you're on there at certain key moments of night. You know, it could be really, really a cool experience. And you know that it's not going to be a thing that you ride in. You know that.
Yeah, there's going to be stuff.
Yeah.
There's going to be things that are interactive. You know, one of the artwork they showed Disney characters on the side of some of them with Grim getting ghosts, and so you know characters talking to you on your ride, and yeah, I've already been plotting out like, okay, what side am I going to be on for this shot with my camera to get this photo?
I think this is going to be like a semi attraction in many ways, so I'm excited for it. I think it's cool. I think it's a cool idea. It's not something I'll use very much because it will have no purpose for me, but. Not a lot of things I do in life actually have a useful purpose for what I need to do in life. So, hell, why not? I'll throw this onto the list. All right. So now we're here. We're in Disney World, guys. Let's talk about Star Wars. We'll talk about Star Wars first. Star Wars had a larger reveal. You know, this is nothing new. We didn't know, Star Wars landed on me. But, you know, we got a name. Galaxy's Edge is going to be what it's called. I love that name. It's a great name. They didn't give it an alien planet name that wouldn't be familiar to, you know, people, and then everyone would say it wrong or something silly like that. This is a great thing. The word galaxy is, you know, in the prologue, you know, in the prescript of, you know, Star Wars, and Galaxy's Edge. Great idea. Love it. They showed the model was on display for the whole land. Huge land. Huge. Seems very large. Very exciting. And then on top of it, they made a little video that they showed everyone to put you basically in a, you know, a perspective of being on the ground. And it looked great. And again, the scale and the size of things are really impressive. A one-to-one Millennium Falcon, which my guess is that that's the entrance for the queue for the new attraction, for the Millennium Falcon attraction. That would be my guess. And then you walk through the Falcon or some semblance of that happening at some point. Mm-hmm. They also talked about the Millennium Falcon attraction in particular. And they had spoken about this before at Destination D, if I remember correctly. I think this is where they said it before. What happens on that Millennium Falcon attraction is you're kind of rated on how successful you are towards not smashing up the Falcon and, you know, getting it back there in one piece, you know, or smashing it up completely. And there will be things that affect you following that performance in that attraction. I need to see this work. Because this is, you know, this is some pie in the sky stuff. And I remember that every step I took in Pandora was supposed to activate the bioluminescent lights. And, you know, it's not that. It's gorgeous, but they don't. That doesn't happen. So I want to see what they do further with that idea. Do you guys think it's, I mean, obviously, if they really want to accomplish it, they can accomplish it. But how do you feel like that gets implemented?
I think it comes from a place with the RFID technology that's built into your magic bands, that's built into all of that. They can, you know, we've seen it now with the ordering your lunch system. Like there are ways to kind of get to know where you are at any given time to find you. So it's, yeah, I think that there's a way to get that done and to have those interactions. I'm interested to see, you know, with the how expansive this land is. There's much more going on than just these two attractions. So where does that catch up to you? Like, could you be on the other side of the land and all of a sudden you're thrown back in because of this attraction?
Yeah, like there's that, like I agree with Ryan 100%. It's going to be based off of the magic band and that technology. You know, do you go into the cantina and you hear somebody say, you know, you hear something like, oh, that's the guy that crashed the, you know,
yeah,
that's the guy that wrecked the, you know, some just things along that type of line. I agree with you too, like the very pie in the sky stuff. Like they always, you know, we always have these big ideas and these big plans, but it, you know, probably scales back from what they had originally, you know, what they intend or what they want it to be. But I mean, the words cannot describe how excited I am for this land, these attractions. I don't even have words. I just cannot wait. I'm just beyond excited.
You know, again, it's mosquito. My God, it's a mosquito in the mists. They're still saying, you know, 2019. That's going to be the opening, and Disneyland is going to open before Disney World. Everyone sort of assumed that anyway, because it was off to, you know, a much earlier start than the one here in Florida. They also showed a little bit more towards the First Order attraction. They showed the ride vehicle. Which looks like, you know, a ride vehicle for a motion ride. But here's where Pandora right now is helping this. I looked at that First Order attraction ride and like the overall thing of it. And I'm like, oh, one of those. But you could, and I did probably say that about Flight of Passage. It was like, oh, it's one of those. Okay. But with how phenomenal and how different Flight of Passage is from every other ride that has that sort of technology, it makes me have excitement towards the battle versus the Force Order attraction, because I'm expecting now that level of upping the game. So that's the challenge, though, towards, you know, towards the whole team that's working on this and, you know, this huge project, is to, you know, go above those expectations and really wow people, because there will be harsh criticism. As excited as people are, as soon as they get in there, they're going to be extremely judgy because they're going to want the best of the best.
Let me play devil's advocate to that.
Do it.
And I'm gonna jump us ahead.
I'm a fan of man. Sorry.
I'm going to jump us ahead a little bit to get us back to this. So we talk about this, whatever they call it, 2.5D technology that we're going to see another attraction. And if that becomes the standard that we're looking at as to us in interactive environments, in immersive environments, and you go back to this attraction, which opens beyond that attraction, and suddenly you're having to put 3D glasses back on, what are people going to say to you?
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't even think about that. That is a strong point. Yeah, unless the 3D is so incredible that you're like, my God, where am I?
Yeah.
Then you're going to be like, why the hell am I wearing these things?
Yep.
You know? So that will be quite interesting. A couple of little fun notes also with Galaxy's Edge. Hondo. Hondo was in the concept art.
How old is that scoundrel at this
thousand. You know, for those who missed the old attraction, Rex is back. He's a DJ now. He's probably just as annoying as a DJ as he was as a pilot. All right, I'm going to move on from that.
Or as annoying as any other DJ.
Yeah, annoying as any other DJ. So Star Wars Land, Galaxy's Edge, really cool. It looks incredible. And yeah. We will be, you know, finding out more about that as time goes on. But we are definitely on the road to that thing being just out of this world. No pun intended. Do we want to talk about Mickey and Minnie right now? Do you want to go towards that? Let's go towards
that. Let's go there.
So, we've all sort of long wondered what's the future of the Great Movie Ride. Hell, we've done episodes about you know, what we would love to see change in the Great Movie Ride and what properties we'd love to see brought in. Blah blah blah. Well, we know now that's not the interest of Disney. Is not, you know, getting in bed with other production companies and signing these deals for X amount of years and paying this much per second of footage used and all this insane garbage that goes into building something like the Great Movie Ride. So we finally figured, we were finally told what was going on. And we were, you know, this is a rumor for a little while as well. It is official now. Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway will be coming to Hollywood Studios or whatever it is called by the time this thing opens. And it will be replacing the Great Movie Ride, which closes on August 13th, less than a month from now. Not really a ceremonial exit, more like a get the hell out of the way because we got things to build. And this ride this is where, Ryan, you were talking about the 2.5D is something that they were talking about specifically, where no glasses required for the 3D effect. This is something that I know James Cameron has been, you know, putting a lot of time into, you know, in the future of the Avatar series, and makes me think that if the attraction can work and you're moving, you're going to see that in the theater if it's equipped with the right stuff. So very interesting. Big note of contention for some people is the look. It's based on the new animated cartoons. How dare it not be based on my memories and based on the memories of younger children? Ha! How dare you? I shake my fist at you. I don't know. The new animation I think is fine. I understand it gets a little... They do some like close-up shots that are like ultra gross and I don't get them. And I know that everyone's like, oh, it's Ren and Stimpy. Guess what? Ren and Stimpy is one of the best damn cartoons of all time. So, I don't know. I'm not saying that Mickey needs to be Ren and Stimpy. And I just think it looks like that. I don't think that it is that.
Yeah, no.
Because if you think that cartoon is Ren and Stimpy, you have not watched Ren and Stimpy. Yeah, you got to rewatch Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah.
Because that show does things, all right? Walrus protectors, people. Rubber walrus protectors. Just Google it. Or don't. Maybe incognito, then you do Google it. So
go through a VPN.
Yeah, go through a VPN, guys. Learn what that is. And network. The government knows what you're doing anyway. So this is... I'm so excited. I'm so happy for this. Mickey deserves his own attraction. It looks like the Fab Four is all going to be involved in this, or five. You know, we include Goofy. No, Goofy. You know, it looks like we already know Goofy's going to be in there. I'm sure Pluto and Donald are going to show up in some aspect in this. It's taking Mickey. It's taking trains, which is very Walt. It's making a brand new attraction that's going to be based on brand new technology. They showed a small clip of, you know, a scene changing from one to the next, and it was really cool. And you know, that was a mock-up I think that they did in one of the studio spaces. So this looks great. I'm really excited. You know, I don't know. Does anyone have something? Is anyone not yeehaw about this? Is there anything about this that you're not happy about?
Ryan. I have things I can gripe about. You know, I'm not the biggest fan of the art style. But that said, it's well past time that Mickey had his own attraction. I'm really thrilled that it's going to be at the studios. it's going to be in a theater. We're not changing the facade. It's still the theater. It was high time for the Great Movie Ride either got a lot of love or got out of the way.
Yeah.
So this all works for me. I'm really excited to see this new technology. And this is a plus. This is going to be a huge plus. And this is and for everyone who has that argument that, oh, well, the studio lost its soul years ago, you're putting Mickey Mouse, who is the head of the focal point of your company and the main attraction, in the middle of a theater. I don't understand the loss of soul argument here.
Yeah, no, that's insane. Some people just can't be, you know, they're not going to be happy with anything.
Yeah.
Does the facade change? I think it has to. It makes absolutely no sense that a choo-choo ride with Mickey Mouse
said it's not going to change.
They're gonna
It's going to be because you're going into a cartoon. You're going in to see this movie.
Oh, that's right. Brilliant. That's brilliant.
So the marquee is going to have to change. You know, they're going to have to put an actual marquee up and change it that way. But no, it's staying.
Great.
That's cool. That's great. Oh, that's such a smart way of doing it. Good. That also means that they don't have to go through even more construction.
Right.
They didn't give a date on this.
No. But I would assume that since you're closing in August, I assume you see it before, you know, before the end of 2019.
Yeah.
Not by the end of next year?
No, I would say – no, I would think a close date would be next year. It's definitely in front of Star
Wars. I think it's
going to
fall between Toy Story and Star Wars. It'll open up in between the two of them.
All right, cool.
Yep.
Speaking towards Toy Story Land, which so overlooked right now, that is opening next summer. So that's official. Then, you know, there's no hard date, but they said opening next summer, as we all kind of expected to hear. But man, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, that can be a tech highlight. And I think kids will lose their mind. Mm-hmm. And I'm really, really excited for it. I will miss the Great Movie Ride as a movie moron. I will miss it, but sometimes you just can't fix broke. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah. So, it's like we said. They either had to heavily reinvest into it, or they had to tear it down. I cannot blame them, and I don't disagree with them for doing what they did. I'm a fan of the art style of the new Mickey one. I do like that a lot. But I'm guessing now if they're basing this attraction on it, this is the style it's going to be going forward then, because I can't see them investing that and then, like, you know, changing up the art style. So, you know, I guess you got to get used to it if you don't like it, you know, unfortunately for those people. But
to that point, how easy would it be to change that, you know, to put some new story into it and change the art style? That's not a cost prohibitive fix down the line.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
possibly. Yeah, but I don't know.
Yeah, I guess we'd have to really see what it looks like.
Yeah, because the thing with that is, if the characters don't match the environment, then you have to change the environment as well, and then you're just changing the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, it probably does cost a whole lot of money because you'd have to reanimate entire sequences and re-render them and everything.
Yeah, but I mean, at least for this, keeping it in there, they're not having to redo. Yeah, they don't have to do a new building. They don't have to do, you know, I mean, I don't know if they're going to do new, you know, new tracks and stuff like that. But
absolutely.
I'm sure. Yeah. But so at least the building is already there. And like we had said, there's so much construction going on there. This would be nice because it'll be shut down, but it'll be internal. You won't really be seeing this construction.
Yeah, that is kind of helpful. But, you know, towards that, wow, you know, a month from now, there is not a lot to do at Hollywood Studios.
No, there is not.
I mean, we all made the assumption that, hey, you know, if they're going to do something with Great Movie Ride, it can't happen until Toy Story's open because, Jesus. And someone looked at that and they were like, nope.
Yeah, I think, you know, I can even say when we were down there doing polls about that side of the park saying, did you find enough to do? Was there enough to? And the only thing that I think actually was the move this forward at a faster clip was the passing of Robert Osborne and the fact that he is visually present throughout that attraction now. And it's just like, yeah, everyone knows that he's dead and it doesn't feel right anymore. We need to just go ahead and move on it.
Does it also maybe have something to do? I know the contract or whatever type of agreement, supposedly something was up this year. Is that coming up soon? Like the agreements they had, and that's why they're looking to cut it when they are. So quickly,
I feel like
maybe
it, I feel like it had until like 19. I don't know why, but I feel most of it specifically was until, like, because it started in 89, and then the increments, I feel like it was going to be 19 when a lot of that came up.
Okay. I'm excited. Hollywood Studios is going to be going from a virtual ghost town to one of the busiest parks in the world in a matter of 2 years. So, wow. A lot of stuff that's going to be going down over there. Do you want to go to Magic Kingdom?
Did we talk about Toy Story?
Yeah, we just said it's open.
Okay.
Is there anything else to talk about?
Yeah, the concept art was just, it gave you an idea of the queue of Slinky Dog, but there's not a whole lot else,
Yeah.
Although I could see where they have, like, so this is an interesting thing. On the concept art, they actually have the ride vehicle out front for you to get into, so you know if you fit or not.
Well, good. I mean, that seems like that should be something that every attraction should have, actually.
It does, but apparently it's something that people overlooked a couple of times.
That was a weird thing not to have over at Flight of Passage, when that cracked open in particular. So hopefully that just becomes
a mine train. The mine train didn't give you that option either, which
that's
I think.
True. Yeah. They still don't. Or no, they do now. No?
No.
No.
Madness. Sparta. All right. Magic Kingdom. Let's first talk about the theater. Magic Kingdom had a couple of announcements. A new theater inspired by the Kansas City's Willis Ford Theater from the 1920s, where Walt lived there after he left Marceline. This big, new, gorgeous theater, very large, is going to be put into Magic Kingdom. Where are we? Where is this thing going?
So they didn't announce it, but I'm going to take every flying stab I have, and I'd be actually willing to bet money. There is a parking lot behind a parking area, slash maintenance area, right behind Main Street, and kind of between that and Tomorrowland. If you do the Run Disney races, you can see you run through that area typically, or I know they have for several of the races I've been through. So you now have an entrance that you could open up between the Tomorrowland Terrace and the Plaza Restaurant, if you're looking at it from the hub, from Main Street, if you turn by the current Town Square Theater and the confectionery, there's a gate there, and go in that way. There's also, if you knock down a little section of facade, you could open up on Center Street, which is right in between, the ice cream parlor and the glass shop and all those things, that little hideaway where we all love to go. So now you have three main entrances into that area, which I think you're going to need for a theater of this side for getting in, getting out purposes.
Thing is huge.
It's gigantic, and I'm thrilled at the idea of having a real giant theater that's going to have a real solid production a la Aladdin and Frozen at the Hyperion Theater at Disney's California Adventure.
Yeah, no, this is really exciting. Real exciting, and I can't picture it on Main Street, so I'm happy that it's kind of like – it's going to be part of that area, but then sort of off to the side a little bit, because I feel like it would dwarf everything else on Main Street if it were to be built into it, which you're like, well, where could you possibly put it? So I love – the idea of where it could go is, I think, fitting and great. More stuff to do at Magic Kingdom is always welcome, because there's more than enough people to fill up all the queues.
Yeah.
And then maybe, I don't know, maybe do a Tron show. Why, Brian, would one want to do a Tron show at Magic Kingdom, you ask?
Why would, I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you, Smarty
Pants.
I didn't hear
anything. I didn't even know about this theater. I knew nothing.
Tron, folks. Guess what? It's official. Tron is coming to Tomorrowland in Magic Kingdom. More shocking than that, though, is that the Speedway endures. I did not understand the logic.
I did not know that. I thought that my initial thoughts were that's where it was going, right where the Speedway was. And then I found out later on that that was not the case.
Yeah, they're building outwards. Even when I looked at the concept art, I did not notice. Someone had to point it out to me on the page. Matt had to do it. He was like, no, you can see the cars right in the front, you moron. And I'm like, Jesus, you're right. I'm like, there they are. Why the hell are they there? Like, what is going on? So, whatever. I mean, I don't care that the Speedway is coming. I'm just happy that Tomorrowland, that Tron is coming in. If we didn't get Tron because it's Tomorrow Speedway, it was too precious, then I would be like, oh, come on. But like, I'm not going to be pissed because something's not being taken down. The only thing is, it's going to be placed, you know, adjacent to Space Mountain, kind of in the back. It's a cool little spot. Looks like they're expanding the footprint a little bit. The railroad will, I guess, be out of commission for a little while, possibly during this construction period, which is fine. You know, you got to do what you got to do. My only thing is, how does it look in front of, behind the Tomorrow Speedland, Speedway? I know, I mean, I think your main viewing point is from the left of Space Mountain. So you're kind of in Tomorrowland more than Speedway is kind of like, it is in Tomorrowland, but it's sort of on the outside edge, a little bit of Tomorrowland. This will be really in Tomorrowland. But I don't know. I just wish it was on its own. I just wish something wasn't sort of in front of it while it was further in the back. It's just an aesthetic thing. It really doesn't matter. I'm thrilled that we're getting Tron. And the fact that they have two Tron attractions, I mean, it's the same one, but they're putting it in two of the largest parks that they own. I don't know. I mean, do you
someday?
It's got to be a someday thing.
I'm thinking. Maybe once they're through this Marvel phase, you know, the one with the Infinity Wars. Maybe then that's something they revisit then once they finish this.
Or even when like Star Wars slows down and we start moving back towards indie, and you need a sci-fi element, then this is the sci-fi element you pull back.
It's got to be. You've got to imagine that they have some idea for this in the future, because you have a lot of properties you could have pulled from. You could have put something in Tomorrowland. Obviously, building something that's already designed and everything is probably a little more, you know, cost, you know, effective and all that kind of stuff. But you're still putting a major IP into your major parks with no discernible future right now for a future of that IP. So it's interesting. It opens up the conversation. They're going to have this open by the 50th anniversary, which is 2021. That's 4 years away. Do you think it's going to take 4 years to build a single attraction?
No. It's a matter – especially since it's a clone. It's not like we're developing anything new. We're just building exactly what we know. I mean, some of the footprinting and footings probably have to be a little bit different. But no, I don't think so. And so I think that's giving them a buffer as to when they actually have to start the construction. I would imagine – we don't see them break ground on this possibly until Toy Story Land's complete.
Makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So I don't want to wait 4 years for it. This seems like ridiculous. They can build lands in 4 years. They don't need to build an attraction in 4 years.
I mean, it was already on my list of how do I get to Shanghai for this? Because I need this.
Like, yeah. This does kind of help that. I mean, I still want to go to Shanghai, of course.
Oh, absolutely.
But this one of the larger poles is like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, this is great. This is great. So Tron coming to Tomorrowland. Very, very exciting. 2021. It'll be open before 2021 for the 50th anniversary.
A couple of things, because I just blew up the artwork I had to.
Oh, yes, please.
As large as it would go. I don't know if it's for storage or maintenance or whatever, but there's a walkway or a roadway that cuts like by that railroad or under that railroad somehow. I don't know. But then it's going back in between it and Space Mountain. Like there's a spot of land back there that's just grade. So who knows if there's something there. But also the deatomizing gun, they have the actual gun that deatomizes people into the grid in the concept art. And I'm like, oh, that's a fun thing.
That's cool. Maybe there'll be a Flynn's Arcade somewhere in that structure.
Take away the power company that's over there by Space Mountain and make it Flynn's.
Make it Flynn's. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That'd be so cool. I would love to see that. So that's really the news then, you know, concerning Magic Kingdom, correct? That was their big thing. No nighttime announcement yet. Something's going to happen eventually. Don't worry.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was it's huge. Oh, and by the way, this is the most – oh, no. Let's – what do we want to talk about first? Let's talk about the Star Wars Hotel first. I want to save Epcot. Let's save Epcot for now.
Let's save Epcot.
Because there's some strangeness in Epcot.
There's some saving that needs to be done. Is that worth saving?
Yeah, there's some things. Combined with all this other, you know, Walt Disney World announcements, the Star Wars Hotel is very, very early in concept, it seems. But they felt comfortable enough to speak about it at this event. So it's a coming. And I'm just going to say exactly what Bob Chapek said. I got the quotes here for you. It's unlike anything that exists today, which, I mean, space, you know, time travel doesn't exist today, so it could be like time travel. From the second you arrive, you will become a part of the Star Wars story. You'll immediately become a citizen of the galaxy and experience all that entails, including dressing up in the proper attire. So huzzah for all you cosplayers. Once you leave Earth, you will discover a starship alive with characters, stories, and adventures that all unfold around you. It is 100% immersive, and the story will touch every single minute of your day, even when you sleep. And it will culminate in a unique journey for everyone who visits. So let's talk about some of the details on this immersive stuff. The windows ain't windows. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's what I'm hearing.
So the windows are digital windows that have you looking out into space.
Yeah. Think Hogwarts. Think the Hogwarts Express. But that's where you're living.
What the hell? So this sounds expensive. That's the first thing I thought of was this sounds incredible.
Yeah.
It sounds like a theme park hotel. And I want to see if you can just spend 3 days in this hotel and never want to leave.
I think that's what they're pandering to.
That's the aim, right? That seems like the aim.
Yeah. So, and the fact that they use the word luxury hotel, which we haven't heard as a quote Disney term for a hotel before, is that puts a price mark on it. And anybody who you see out there telling you that, oh, I've heard it's going to cost this much, they have no clue right now how much this is going to cost. It's going to be 2 nights. It's going to be 3 nights. Tell those people to stop.
Yeah, just wait on this one. This is going to be a price tag on this. A price tag that I will pull the trigger on. Even if it's just once that I get to do it.
I think we all would. I think everyone would pull that trigger once. No matter what it costs, no matter how little time it was, I think we'd all pull that trigger once.
So then the question comes into availability and what's it going to be like to get a resort, you know, to get a reservation at this place and actually do something. So once they, you know, determine size and all that kind of stuff, obviously a lot more will come out. And this is, I thought, the thing that I heard and I was like, my God. You know, even though I was really, really happy with everything that was announced and the technology and the Mickey and Minnie's railroad attraction is so cool and I can't wait to see it. This was the announcement that I was like, oh, all right. I have no idea what this means. And that's exciting.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to learning more about that. The topic that everyone was sort of focusing on, though, for this, you know, this D23 event was Epcot. You know, what's going to happen with Epcot? Because everyone knows that it's about to get some big changes and all that kind of stuff. And we got announcements. We got announcements for changes. So let's go through them. Number one, the Ratatouille attraction that's based out of Disneyland Paris is coming, you know, to France, which is great. Expected. That was a rumor that's been going on for a long time, and it makes total sense. Again, it's another thing of, we don't have to develop this thing from scratch because we're just going to take it from, you know, it's going to be a transplant in ways and expand out the footprint of the France Pavilion. And there you go. You know, you've got Ratatouille. Absolutely love it. I'm really excited about that. I don't think anyone would argue that, right?
Nope.
No, I was holding my breath. I'm going to be that person who's I was expecting to lose Impressions de France. Impressions de France is, and I will take the ribbing I need for this. Impressions de France is my favorite attraction in Epcot. It always has been. I love that movie. And so I was mentally prepared that I was going to lose that film yesterday. It was in a whole different area. I went, win!
Yeah. So we're not losing anything. They're just adding here, which is great and also gives you a good idea that they can build going back, which is kind of key. If you take one thing away from this, every time that someone has said, oh, well, there are buildings back there and you couldn't possibly. Yes, they can and they are. So this could be a good glimpse of what happens elsewhere because they can and are willing to build backwards, which is also great because it doesn't interfere with your experience, which is very, very helpful because there's going to be a lot of dust and construction going on. And, you know, It's nice that at least this will be out in the back. ILM is working on a new green mission for Mission Space in an effort to get anyone to care about Mission Space. That's kind of what I feel towards this attraction. I mean, I don't know. It's good for kids. Hopefully it gets more kids interested in this attraction. They don't have to get sick on it. But the fact that you had to do this so kids go on it so they don't get sick kind of shows that the original intent just sort of didn't work out very well, unfortunately, because I love space. And boy, if you love space, will you enjoy eating in space? What, you ask? From the minds that brought you Why the Hell Not comes a new restaurant that's going to be located adjacent to the to Mission Space attraction. And it's actually going to be operated by the Patina Restaurant Group. They also do several other restaurants, Tutto Italia, Via Napoli, and Morimoto Asia is actually part of the Patina Restaurant Group. So those are three damn good restaurants.
Those three restaurants with good food, yes.
Yeah, so that's good. That's great to hear. You know, that's yeah. The best part of this. This sounds insane, but kind of fun and silly in a way that I hope it's fun and silly. Ryan, what exactly is this place? What's the idea behind this?
This is Star Wars Hotel 1.0.
Yeah, I guess.
This
yeah.
is or it's DC Watchtower 1.0. I don't know, whatever you want to. So apparently what this is going to be like is like you are in a space station orbiting the Earth, or you're out in space. So every and it looks like there's like tiered dining, like it's stepped down. So everyone has a view of these giant windows that look out into space. And there's, you know, in the concert art, you see an astronaut floating by. Because, sure, that just happens regularly on these kind of flights. But that's what it's going to be. It's almost like – it's basically the coral reef for space. Whereas you have the giant looks into the aquarium, you're going to have these looks out into the vast – I have to feel like there's at least one window where you see nothing but vastness. And look, there is nothing but stars way beyond your reach.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, cool.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing something with the space that nothing's being done with. And
so here's my question. Where is this? Is this
like, is it the Wonders of Life Pavilion?
I don't know. I was wondering that. Like, that's been their festival center. That does not... In the concept art that you can see of Future World, and we'll talk about that in a minute,
yeah,
it doesn't look like there's a path between the two. So, and they're saying adjacent, so I'm wondering if it's in where the Innovations areas are now.
In the middle of Future World?
Not in the middle, but kind of like, you know, on that pathway. There's a lot of – it looks like Future World's getting an overhaul. Where all the buildings are. So there's kind of a round-ish building near that, which would make me think that maybe that's where that would go. So I don't know where exactly it's going to go at the moment.
I'll say towards that if it was in that building and it was in that concept art, they would have pointed it out.
Yeah, I don't know that I don't know that they have a specific thought as to where yet. It's just, we're going to do this.
Brian, you want to eat in space?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah, that's my reaction to it. It's like, yeah, sure. Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
As long as the anti-grav's on, I'm fine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Make it a cool, crazy
in space
place.
No one can hear you scream, but you can. But obviously you can eat. So yeah. it works.
You
it's
can
fine.
Enjoy tapas. Yeah. You know? Yeah. This is, I mean, whatever. I don't know.
You know what?
I don't know what to react to.
You know
what would
be great if they served astronaut food like freeze-dried?
I'll kill you, I swear to God. It's nothing but fries, dried ice cream. That's all it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dippin' Dots.
It's Dippin' Dots. That's what it is.
One of the other notes from Epcot before we get to the biggie is actually something I'm truly excited for. I love the Circle Vision China show. And they are going to be moving. They're going to be doing a new film for that attraction, and it's going to be seamless. Which means that you won't have to have the screen separated. It's going to be one continuous screen going all around without any breaks in it. And I'm really excited for this. I think this is really cool. I'm happy that they're showing love to the pavilions while building on some new stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important going forward, is to not neglect what is there in order to build what is new. So this was really great news to hear. Maybe not the most exciting and sexy news, you know, for most people, but I was particularly really excited about this one, you know. So, huzzah, China.
Yeah, I know with the Canada Pavilion, yeah, the Canada Pavilion needs a new film. The Canada Pavilion needs a lot of things, but it needs I always thought it needed the new film more, but then I started thinking about it. It took them such great lengths to get the permits to film in China for Born in China that they clearly made use of them to every degree they could. And so we're going to, I think this is going to be really, really cool. And I'm really excited to see it when it opens.
Brian, do you like the circle motion movies and all that kind of stuff throughout Epcot?
Yeah, usually, not every trip, but yeah, I definitely hit them up. Maybe not all of them, but you know, a couple of trips, one trip I'll see this one. And the only one I never really did is I kind of always walked out of the Norway one, you know. It's, I don't know.
Yeah, I sat through.
Yeah,
that
I just kind of always did, but I enjoy that, and I'm with you. I really want them. I have no problems with them adding attractions in the pavilions and doing that sort of stuff because I think it does nothing. It adds to it, but I don't want them to neglect what makes the pavilions, and. Yeah. You know, the purpose that they were there for, you know, the purpose they had of them to begin with. So it's good to see that they're still, it looks like they're going to keep doing that.
Yep.
And finally, and then we'll talk about the concept art, because the concept art, I think, brings up a lot of interesting questions going forward. As we all assumed would happen, it has finally happened. Ellen's Energy Universe, or Adventure, Ellen's Energy Adventure, is going bye-bye. And Guardians of the Galaxy is coming in. Now, I'm with many of you in the thought that, well, is that what we're going to become? Is it just going to become an IP adventure-based Epcot? And is it why is it then called Epcot ultimately? And I agree with that. I do. Let's do this. Let's just wait. Because I have a theory. Right, trust me, this is not going to happen, okay? I guarantee you. So don't get excited because, you know, I'm an idiot and this is just made up garbage. The thing that made me get really interested in this, I love the facade, number one. I think it looks really cool. They said that the story, like the whole reason that the Guardians are coming here is because Peter Quill visited Epcot in the 80s. Are we going to get a retro view of Epcot in this attraction?
I think that photo is as close as you're going to get, and that was just to appease people and shoehorn it. I really do. I think that was what that was.
All right. So you just think this is going to be a Guardians of the Galaxy adventure through space thing?
No, I think no. So I don't – yeah, I'm with everyone. I don't understand the fit. No. I, you know, there are things in – you know, Tom Fitzgerald has done some amazing attractions, and he's done some attractions that I'm like – really? Okay, that's what we're doing? All right. I trust Imagineering. I trust that they're not going to completely just pull the rug out from under the Epcot concept. They're showing us with World Showcase that there's care and attention to what makes it good and what we've all loved about it, and while still plussing it. I don't know if this is going to be an energy theme. I don't know if this is going to be a technology theme. I don't know what it is. You know, from the concept art, it looks like the Nova Corps are going to have a big piece of this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, from the jet that's out front to the logo on the building. Mm-hmm. So I'm willing to play a waiting game and see what they're going to do for this e-ticket.
Brian, what about you? You know, now that we, you know, it's here, it's going to be coming, and is that something you care about? Like, do you, you know, want it to be still in the blood of Epcot?
Yeah, I'm with you guys also. I don't want to get away from what Epcot was designed to be and what it means. I think... what I hope is that they can incorporate the theme that they're trying, you know, the themes that were there before with this new attraction, which, you know, I think they're going to do. I'm hoping they're going to do. You know, I just don't want a Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean, I'm still, if it's good, it's good. I'd probably still enjoy it. I'm not going to say I'm not going to enjoy it if it's a good ride. But I would hope that they incorporate, you know, the spirit of Epcot into it. But also make it something that kids want to go to. Because Ellen's End of the Adventure did incorporate the spirit of Epcot, but nobody wanted to see it. I mean, people, of course, did want to go see it. My mom sees it every time. I go with her every time. It's my nap time. And so I go and relax. it's my way just, you know, I enjoy parts of it, but it's my way to, you know, she goes every time. So, you know, there are people that do love it, and I don't, you know, say that they don't. But it's not the energy stuff that they were trying to, you know, that ride had anyway is outdated stuff anyway. That video was outdated.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll see. I'm holding out. I'm going to be optimistic and hopeful.
And now, Ryan, towards the concept art that was shown of Future World in particular, there's obviously a lot they have not said yet because there are big changes coming to there.
Yeah. They said that we were going to get a new entrance in to the park. So that means that the, you know, whatever you want to call the front, the Leave a Legacy or the Tombstones or whatever your nom de plume is for it, is going away. Those will be leaving. It looked like from that artwork that there was some more water in the front of the park at the entrance. That fountain, it's not going to be a little fountain. It's going to be a greater body of water there. It looks like, yeah, it looks like there are more walkways. It looks like the Innoventions East and West are basically gone. For the most part, there are a couple of structures kind of in the middle, but to the most extent, I mean, most of that's gone, and it's becoming green spaces. It's becoming walkways, waterways, things of that nature, which a lot of people forget. There used to be a lot more water in Epcot, in Future World. You know, all those places that we use as walkways and cut-throughs now around the fountain and in between different areas – had ponds and had different things, you know, different water elements. So, but there's also a bunch of, you know, smaller buildings that I can't figure out what they're for. One of them looks like kind of like a spinning glass pyramid. There's a lot more that has not been announced yet.
I have no idea what's going to actually stick from this, but like, I mean, I can't see the entrance from here though. So I don't know what in front of Spaceship Earth looks like.
Yeah, but it's tough to
see. But man, like, behind Spaceship Earth, like once you enter the park, that's a different park.
It is. And I mean, there's a lot of similarities between, you know, the concept we saw almost two decades ago with like the Discovery Land element of, or Project Gemini for the historians of Disney who want to go and dig into that stuff. There's a lot of similarities between this map and those maps. So, you know, is it just that we copied that map to show that we're going to change everything? Is it that some of those elements have now lived on and are going to come to fruition there? I don't have any idea at the moment.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting. This is going to be fascinating to watch, because if this concept art is semi-accurate, the front portion, when you walk into Future World, is going to be under a tarp for quite a while.
Yeah, and I don't know how you – I mean, they're going to have to create workarounds so that you can get – you know, and they have them. I mean, we use the same pass to get to Future World West, Future World East during half a marathon. You know, there are ways to get there. They're typically cast member only access, but it may come down to using those kinds of things to get anywhere in that park for a while.
Very exciting stuff. A lot. There's so much. That was a huge panel that they had this year. And with it, we still didn't get a number of things that we were looking forward to. Glimpses, but not the full view, you know? So going forward, we're going to learn more, and we're going to see more, and we're going to have more to discuss. And during all that discussion, new stuff's going to be opening. It's just going to be, you know, something's opening on the left and something's getting built on the right. When does this end is kind of the next question. It's like, all right, we're heading into a new construction phase. Like, this is, you know, like when Eisner took over and things were like, we're changing things up. This is what that feels like. This is the beginning of it. How long can you keep that going? A decade? Five, six years?
You know, you get the question of Iger came in and immediately wanted to make a mark. Iger is leaving on the I want to leave my mark. He's going to have somebody come in after him. Is that person going to immediately want to make their marks then?
Is it Lasseter?
I don't know who it is. They have not. I mean, it could be.
Can it be Lasseter?
It could be. It depends on if that's what he wants to do or if he wants to stick to, you know.
If by some reason it becomes Lasseter, I almost feel like the world will become this world will become his playpen. It will become, you know, his mind expanded onto paper, and I think that'd be amazing.
Well, you even have things going on now, like Joe Rohde, you know, for everyone who follows him on Instagram and Twitter, you know, I thought he was taking a vacation. You know, you watch his photos, he's traveling, he's in Bali. He said it was a work trip. Why are we in Bali for a work trip? Epcot. What are we, you know, it could be Epcot. It could be a new, you know, down the road, this is the next expansion of Animal Kingdom. This is, I have no idea, but he was there for a work trip. So, and it could just be a sourcing trip, you know, grabbing different materials for other things. But you never, it doesn't stop. I think there's enough room that they're finally going to just keep going until they finally, they think they've hit a saturation point, and I don't know where that point is yet.
Brian, do you think this ever helps with crowds, or do just more people show up than at the parks?
I don't know. I really don't. I mean, because everything you add helps with the crowds, but then it draws more people to it. So, I mean, in theory, yes, you give everybody more options. You add three attractions to Magic Kingdom, and you don't take anything away. Well, now you can disperse the crowds and stuff. So, in theory, it works that way, but I don't know, because it is the place. I don't know if there is an answer to thin out the crowds, and they've tried it, I think, with some of the pricing and stuff like that, and I don't know if that's made much of a difference.
It does not. Well, I mean, you know? There's definitely less crowds right now.
Well, in the summertime, right?
Yeah. It's weird. We've had some times where we go in there and we're like, oh, wow, this place is a mess. Mm-hmm. And then you go in other times and you say, oh, it's not that bad. So it kind of it flips around a little bit back and forth. So tons coming up in the future with the parks. And you know what? We've got one more thing we got to do before we can call it a day, guys. How you feeling? Feeling spicy?
Feeling good.
All right. We have a few emails. All right. We got some emails coming in hot. And they're just some questions from you, the listeners. Thank you so much, guys, for finally putting this email to use. And how you do this is just email us at DisneyMagicHourPodcast@gmail.com, and we will do these on a weekly basis. So first email is from Nathan, and Nathan says, hey guys, with so much stuff announced these last few days, which pavilion or location at Epcot do you think will get renovated next?
Are we saying of the announcements, like of what we already know is coming?
No, just... Well, there's been no official announcements towards the ones that weren't announced. Like, if there was another pavilion that you could point at and go, this one, which one would you want changed or get something new?
I think the next one we're going to see is Imagination.
What about a pavilion? Oh, yeah, the Imagination Pavilion. I'm thinking of the worlds in my brain.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Or location. It's anything. So, yeah, Imagination Pavilion probably is at the top of that list. Brian, how about you?
Yeah. If we're talking about pavilions, I was thinking World Showcase myself. That's why I said Canada, because, well, there's like nothing there. there's really not. But I've said it a million times before, the Imagination Pavilion needs, you know, that needs a real overhaul.
Yes, I'm right in line with that, I think, Imagination. Matt Lambert asks, hey guys, love the show, thank you. Back in episode 40, you covered the... Back in episode 40, my God. Wow, that was a long time ago. Back in episode 40, you covered the top sounds of Disney World and mentioned that the transition from the Magic Kingdom hub into Adventureland was the best thematically and musically. But you were holding out to see what Pandora would offer. Now that Pandora is open and frequented, what are your thoughts? I'm curious to know if you still think Adventureland holds the top spot or has Pandora challenged it. Keep up the great work. Thank you. We will try. No, I don't think the transition into Pandora is anything to scream about. I think Pandora is amazing. I think walking over a bridge is, it's not, and being like, you're on Earth, you're not on Earth, is the best they can do under the circumstances. If you leave going out of the, towards the Africa Pavilion, out of the back, basically, that's a better transition. But the Adventureland, I still think that is my favorite. And I don't believe my other two gentlemen have yet been there, correct?
No, not the Pandora.
Jake Sully Day is coming up.
Jake Sully Day is coming up.
Jake Sully Day is coming up, guys. For anyone who's going to be in the area, let me double check the date on that. August 24th, Thursday, starting at noon, Jake Sully Day over at Pandora with Disney Magic Hour. Okay, guys? Head on over to the Facebook group, and it's in the upcoming group events page. Next question is from Stan Solo. Very hello there, Stan.
Hey, Stan.
During Star Wars Celebration Parks panel, they talked about guests using realistic lightsabers. You are right, they did. I don't know if they meant guests using them. I don't remember if it was guests or just that. During D23 Parks panel, no mention at all. Do you think the idea was put aside? The idea was a pipe dream, too expensive, not safe. The expenses are, you know, fragile. Or do they want to surprise everyone when Galaxy's Edge opens? Yeah, I don't think it not being said means all of a sudden it's not a thing that exists. It's way too, they're way too close to each other to be like, we got it. We don't got it. I think we're still going to see something like that. I definitely don't think it's going to be a thing that, well, it could be a thing that fans do. Obviously, it would never be a real laser. It's just going to be an effect.
Yeah.
So I do still think that we'll see that going forward. I absolutely do. It is very blue sky, though. I agree with you. It's very, very blue sky. Next is from Nick. Hey, Nick, what's up? Here from Virginia Beach, I attended Friday and Saturday of the expo this year and had the time of my life. This was my first expo, and I think Disney put on a great show. I spent a lot of time sitting in lines, but it was totally worth it. That's cons, baby. The Star Wars model looked fantastic. I spent what felt like my entire paycheck in the Disney Dream Store. Good, good. And got to sit in on the Pirates of the Caribbean panel and hear Marty Sklar, Tony Baxter, and other Imagineers tell stories about the iconic attraction. All in all, it was a great time. Like most of us, though, I didn't make it into the Parks and Panels Resort because I didn't feel like sleeping on the ground the night before. So I watched the news roll in on Twitter while riding rides in Disneyland. Not a bad constellation.
Not a bad way.
That's really good, actually, dude. That's a great way of doing it. Mm-hmm. So I've got a couple of questions. All right. How do you feel about IPs like Guardians of the Galaxy and Ratatouille coming into Epcot? I think we kind of answered that earlier. The idea of having these rides sounds fantastic, but are we getting too far away from the original idea of Epcot, or are you okay with how things are changing? So we kind of addressed that before. The Epcot version, the version of Epcot you got in 81 also was nothing like the original concept version of Epcot. So, you know, it's amalgamized. I don't want it to lose its thing completely. I think we're all together on that one. Second, we heard so many other rumors leading up to Expo, like the addition of a new pavilion and World Showcase, Zootopia coming to Animal Kingdom. That seems ridiculous to me. I would be so thrilled if that turned out to be true. But for them to build a whole nother land in Epcot after just finishing one with all the other stuff they have, I know Zootopia was popular, but that seems really huge. New fireworks show coming to Epcot, to name a few. What wasn't announced that you wish was? Not to be greedy, because I was over the moon excited with, you know, with not only what they announced for Walt Disney World, but also for Disneyland Cruise Line. I think we're going to get the Epcot Pavilion eventually. I think that's just, they just didn't announce it yesterday. Same thing with the fireworks. Illuminations isn't going to be there forever. Does anyone argue? Anyone feel different on that one?
Nope.
No.
Yeah, I just
think, they had enough stuff. They had enough stuff, and this these things might be far enough out that they didn't need to pad the show with things that may happen. You know, not not for another 5-6 years.
Because they certainly padded it with that Beauty and the Beast musical number. Jesus Christ.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Finally, says, thanks for all your hard work and for putting out a great show. And, oh, yeah, we want the redhead. My God, man. Don't make me come over there. thank you so much, man. Chris Butler says, gang, did I read on the thread? I said nothing. Did I read on the thread that it will be a DVC property, or did I hear this wrong? Star Wars. Oh, no. The Star Wars is not a DVC property. No. There's the Star Wars is one thing. The DVC property is Riviera Resort, and those are two totally different things. Don't worry about what thread you read on the UK that's saying how much it's going to be per night. Probably just wait until Disney says it themselves. There's going to be a lot of people out there who are going to throw out a lot of numbers. Just wait for the announcement. It'll come eventually. Dennis writes, hello, Disney Magic Hour crew. Hey, Dennis. I'm very excited to take for your take on all the D23 news. Well, I hope it worked out because you just listened to it. my question specifically relates to Star Wars Galaxy Edge. They have announced two rides, the Millennium Falcon Experience and the Battle Between the First Order and the Resistance. I haven't been to Pandora yet, but it is said this park will raise the bar from Pandora. That is now the challenge, because Pandora is phenomenal. My understanding of Pandora is that while the Navi River Journey is a good ride, the real e-ticket attraction is Flight of Passage. Yeah, the River Journey is not an action-packed blah, 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 and it's not supposed to be. Anyone who thinks that going into that ride is really, I think they're kind of missing the point of the whole land, because the Navi, the Flight of the Passage, isn't like this rip-roaring action thing. It's this incredibly serene, cool, exciting adventure that has no guns, no shooting, no this, no running. You know, there's one encounter with the larger bird thing that lasts about 20 seconds. But, like, it's about just enjoying the environment and flying through it and taking in all the sights. That's exactly what the River Journey is. So I really think people just had their expectations very wrong for the River Journey. So I don't go into it thinking like that. It's not a good – Navi River is not good. It's phenomenal. It's just a different attraction, totally different attraction. Do you think the Star Wars attractions will be similar? In other words, will the Millennium Falcon be in the main event and First Order vs. Resistance be the entertaining attraction on the undercard? I'm sure the Imagineers don't see either one of those as being secondary to the other. I think that we as fans have a more hyped interest in piloting the Millennium Falcon. That's kind of hard to beat. Unless they put in a thing eventually where it's VR and I'm fighting with a lightsaber versus Vader, piloting the Millennium Falcon, I do not know if you can just get higher for a fan aspect. Mm-hmm. It seems the more ambitious of the two when we're talking about just like what's being put in front of us so far. But I'll say what I said before about Flight of Passage. If you would have just read to me the description of an interactive journey, 3D journey, where a screen in front of you and you move to the movement of it, I've been like, oh, I've been on that 100 times. I guess this is going to be what that is. I wouldn't have been more wrong. So wait and see. We'll just see, because doing it will be exciting. I don't see either one of them as the lesser of the two. My excitement for piloting the Millennium Falcon obviously is higher. Ryan, Brian, do you have anything towards that?
Yeah. No, go ahead.
No, yeah. I mean, I'm looking forward to both of them. But yeah, like you said, piloting the Millennium Falcon, I mean, I used to pilot it around in my, pajamas as a kid. So to be able to sit there and do it, as an attraction, is, I don't think you can beat that.
Yeah, and in fact that the concept art looks like it's a 6-person pod. Mm-hmm. That it's not like you're in a theater that's piloting, that you're actually actively doing it.
Yeah,
my expectation for that can't be my excitement for that can't be overstated.
Yeah, that thing looks very, very unique, and I'm very, very excited about it. But I'm just as excited to see what they do with what seems like another motion simulator thing. But because of what was done with Flight of Passage, granted, the imprint of Joe Rohde on that attraction can't be, said enough, and how much it did towards influencing it, I'm sure. But I hope that they you know, raise the bar again, because that's the whole point. That is the trick. It's also really hard to do. Jeremiah asks, do you think increasing the footprint of Magic Kingdom is going to continue going forward? Tron, obviously, but I think the new theater is possibly going to increase the footprint as well. We talked about that before. The group this weekend was an absolute blast. Thanks for all the updates. Ryan, do you think that this is only two steps towards expanding more of the footprint of Magic Kingdom?
Yes, I think eventually. I think it's where it's strategic and where it needs to happen. There's still plenty of room. You know, not so much on the Tomorrowland, circus, Frontierland or Fantasyland side, but on the Frontierland side, on the Adventureland side, there are still some fair parcels that you could build out into. I think it's, I don't think that this is the end of that expansion. I just don't know when the next time is that we would see more expansion.
Yeah. I think it might be a little while, but who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, who would have thought they would be doing this much to Magic Kingdom?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, especially with everything else going on.
Yeah. The fact that they even said Magic Kingdom and here's two new things that are coming here. I was like, what? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was just going to be a dumb parade at night. Like, no, you're making a massive theater for huge productions, and you're making an entire, a Tron attraction. Like, that's incredible.
I think it's more likely that you'll see other things change. You'll see the shows in Tomorrowland change. You'll see maybe the Speedway go away. You know, there are places where they can use what they already have and come up with something better than what's currently there. That's, I think, what we'll see next.
So there you are, folks. So much to sift through, so much more to discuss as we go forward on this massive journey that is what is revolving with the Walt Disney World Parks and Resorts. And we haven't even started seeing all these movies that are going to be coming out too. So much to do, but luckily we have the time in which to do it. So I want to thank everyone for tuning in this week to this double-sized expo edition. Thank you to everyone who sent in your emails, and send them in for next week, because that's how we're going to be doing that. And I'm very, very happy that you guys sent in your emails this week. So let's hear from you next week as well. Let's keep that going. My goodness, boys, that was a long one. All right, so we've been here for 3 hours. I think it's time to wrap it up and get ready for Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I believe, right? Yeah, you got to get ready for Game of Thrones. So
very, very un-Disney, but it's all right.
Yeah, it's all right. That's going to come to Animal Kingdom next. Winter is coming to Orlando.
Yes.
Not a bad tagline. Yeah,
that is.
So this episode of Disney Magic Hour has been brought to you by MEI Travel for all your vacation planning needs, and there are so many now. Visiting Walt Disney World, taking cruises, traveling anywhere around the globe. Visit the experts over at meitravel.com. Becky and her team can get you started on your own adventure. As always, you are listening to There You Are. You can find this track and more over at soundcloud.com/pogomix. His website is pogomix.net. We are lastgenpodcast.com. Find us on Twitter at Diz Magic Hour Pod. That's D-I-S Magic Hour Pod. You can find us on Facebook, Disney Magic Hour. Add yourself to the group. Add your friends to the group. I've seen many of you do that recently. Thank you so much. That's fantastic. It's a great way to expand our little circle. You can listen to us on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher. And we have an Instagram account over at Disney Magic Hour Podcast. Ryan, where can everyone find the huge world of the Main Street Gazette?
Yeah, I'm going to have to organize all of it again at some point. But it's the Main Street Gazette is mainstgazette.com. You can search that Main ST Gazette on Twitter or Instagram to find us playing along there. Or search for Main Street Gazette on Facebook to find our page.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed that. Till next week, say goodnight, Brian.
Goodnight, Brian.
Say goodnight, Ryan.
Good night, Ryan.
Good night, Pete. And say good night, Pogo. I just found the keys to a city that beats a baby.